Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I am doing fabulous, Jim. Just fabulous. How are you?
Excellent. Doing well. I know Han and I were having a lively discussion before the show started this evening about all kinds of great things, but welcome to Straight Talk, episode number 60. We have had the opportunity to be very thankful to have 60 episodes under our belt, and tonight we're starting off something new. It's kind of an extension of what our last show was when we talked about the do's and the don'ts, but what we're calling this is HJT Design Nuggets. What should I do? Really, it's going to be a very positive segment to our show profile in that we are going to talk about the do's, what you should do in this particular case or this particular situation. What should you do when you're at this point? What should you do here or what should you do there? And this is all kind of very similar to our question and answer session that we've always asked about, because there's so many things that both Han and I, we get questions, we get calls, we get reviews by doctors, and basically this is a culmination of that. So welcome to our new segment called Design Nuggets, What Should I Do? So this evening, we're going to, like I say, launch this, but we want to kind of just jump right in it because we've only got an hour, and trust me, our list is very long. So we'll have more than one of these shows throughout the year, just like we will the questions and answers. Feel free to send us emails, call in, however you'd like to give a question to the What Should I Do column, and we'll definitely answer it during that time, won't we, Han?
Absolutely. And more.
And more. All right, let's just jump into this, and we're going to throw these at each other, and we're going to do our best to give you information, because that's what this show is all about, is it's providing information. And so the one we have here to start off with, Han, we've heard it so many times. I've bought a piece of property. What should I do?
Oh, hopefully, before you bought the property, that you would do you do your due diligence. Okay, buying a property is not necessary. There is a difference between buying a property and buying the right property. If you do your homework, we provide. There's a rule of thumb of how big a piece of land you will need. I'm saying usable land that you need based on your business program. So if you're going to build a building that's, let's say, 10,000 square feet, or you need a building of 10,000 square feet, you will need to buy a piece of land that is 10,000 times 7 to 9. And that would be the acreage of land you need to accommodate the building and parking. Remember, some of our segment, we discussed in some length of the importance of having enough parking. If you don't have parking, they won't come. Okay? If they come, they will have a very hard time finding a spot to park their car, and it just become problematic for you. So buying the right piece of property that's sufficient enough to meet your requirement, whether you're going to build a building, and that's as big as it's going to ever get, or you're going to build a building and incrementally enlarge it So that land, that piece of land, have to be big enough to meet all of your present and future requirements. Buying that piece of land, there is a number of things that you need to look at that so that it's the right piece of land that will service you well. Jim, jump in any time if I miss anything, okay?
Absolutely.
We know, I mean,
and unfortunately, well, the good thing about it is you're not the one that has asked that question, but you get to learn from the folks that have asked that question, because there's a lot to going into that buying piece of property. But let's take it from the face value. If you called us and you said, Jim, Han, I just bought this piece of property. What do I do now? Well, the first thing you've got to do, without a doubt, is evaluate, have a professional like ourselves, evaluate what that piece of property is. Meaning, what's the allowable buildable square footage or footprint that you could put on that property? We'll take into account setbacks. We'll take into about ordinances having to do with easements. We'll take into account everything from floodplains to adjacent buildings, requirements, vegetation, you name it. Okay, and then that'll give us at least an area of, okay, this is allowable square footage where you can actually build that on that piece of property. Then there's going to be an evaluation that has to be done. Because remember, you've already bought the build, you brought the property, okay, in this question scenario. You've already bought the property. You can't go back and say, maybe I should rethink this. You're done. You bought it.
Yep.
You're stuck with it. You've got to move forward. Now, the other thing you have to do is we have to integrate another team member that would be a civil engineer. That civil engineer will evaluate a lot of the underground stuff. We're talking about where are utilities, where's the electric lines, where's the water lines, where's the gas line, where the sewer line, all that important stuff that you need to make your building work. Those will have to be identified, as well as integrate the concept of planning and zoning. Every property, unless, of course, you're out in the middle of a cornfield in a very rural scenario where there are no codes, which very rarely exist, you're going to have planning and zoning done. Now, planning and zoning means you've got to go before a particular board. Sometimes it's public. Sometimes it's just a board of people. And follow their written criteria. So there'll have to be an evaluation of what can be done and what can't be done on this property. Okay. So that is a bare minimum of what you're going to have to do. There's more that comes down the road, and that is once you've defined the building that you're going to put on there, you may get involved into some soils testing. You may have to drill some holes into the ground and make some determinations about where water table is, where what the allowable bearing capacity of the soil is for the structural engineer, all kinds of technical stuff that our engineering team is able to accomplish and go through, and they need it to do their job, but it's not something you need day one. You'll eventually need it, but right now, you bought your piece of property. To answer your question, what do I do now? You do that, then you start into the design process. Okay. So, you know, quick nutshell, that's your very first task. Han?
Yeah, I think the portion that Jim was talking about, the design, the design work is on a preliminary basis, just so that you can determine where it's ideal, how big your building, based on your particular need, and then where it's best placed, where you can get the optimal circulations and segregations and all of that. So it takes it to get the best use of the site to serve you, to serve you. So those are the basic fundamental when you deal with buying a piece of land. Hopefully, those of you who are listening, is that get, you know, get input from, you know, from the professional to help you identify, you know, the particular piece of property, make sure that it is, it will serve your need. Buying a piece of property that, even if it's cheap, may not be the right, you know, the appropriate or right thing that will, you know, be to your benefit to use.
Right. Yeah. So to add to that, exactly what you said, in retrospect, it's much better to have this information before you bought that piece of property. So have that review done by the professional design folks like ourselves who understand what you're trying to accomplish. You may say, hey, I want to do an 8 or a 10 operatory practice. We know how big it's going to be in a generic square footage. We know how much parking you're going to have. We know that we'll look at that in relationship to the property and very quickly create a conceptual architectural site plan that will allow you to determine that, yes, this is a piece of property that works from that regard. You very quickly can identify whether some of the things like utilities and all those things are available, that you don't have bad issues like floodplain issues where you basically can lose a large portion of your allowable building square footage of property, as well as nasty things called easements, which could come from the planning and zoning folks or could be easements that are tied to the property. You can go back to one of our podcasts, and I think we talk about those nasty things and what you have to do to at least identify them. Easements can make or break a piece of property so that you will never, ever be able to build on that thing. Sometimes it just happens that way, that you can't because an easement isn't financially feasible to move. Like a massive electrical easement that maybe runs through your property. I mean, heaven forbid.
A major gas
line easement that runs through your property. Those things cost tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars to move, and let alone time. So that may not make it feasibly possible for you to even move the thing to make the property work for you. So
for the gas line, particularly for a large gas line that come in, you know, to serve the community, those are usually you move your building or you move your site. It won't move. But it's good to know all this stuff up front, right?
Yeah. Much better to know it up front. But if you're in a situation that you've already bought the piece of property, well, then you've got these tasks that you have to accomplish. Okay, let's jump to the next one that we had. Go ahead, Hon.
There's one thing that I have not run into in the recent year dealing with dentist offices, because they're most of the time the site is less than an acre, if that. Okay, because of the environmentalists and restrictions with the EPA and all that good stuff, I'm surprised I haven't seen more of it. Some municipalities will have it where it's pretty restrictive to relocate or cut down existing trees up to a certain size. So when you look for properties and stuff like that, do take that into consideration so that you it may not, existing trees on the property may not, it could cost placing your buildings and stuff like that unattainable.
Yep. We've had that happen before. I've had that happen several times in my career where properties had a restrictive covenant on them because of the zoning ordinance that required that mature trees over such and such size could not be taken down. There's no remedy. They stay, and that's the way the covenant says with the planning and zoning, and you have no recourse. That tree stays. And so you have to build around it or move someplace else.
Yeah, we looked at a piece of property recently for a doctor in Georgia, where the plot of land was big enough in theory, but there was restriction on how much of that land can be built on. And based on that limitation, there was not enough real estate for to put up buildings and parking and all that stuff. So even the parcel of land is big enough, but the usable portion, it isn't. And so it's important that you look at those, all those little nuances, so you don't buy a piece of land that you can, that you can't use, and you might have to convert it into a park and give it to the city or something. Yep.
Yeah. Well, this next one just fits right into what we're talking about. I bought an existing building. What should I do now?
Yeah.
We could do a whole show on that one, can't we, Han?
That's right. Our first question would probably be, what kind of building? Is it an existing warehouse? Is it an existing house? I don't want to kick a dead horse, but once you commit yourself to a purchase and then come and talk to your design professional, there's only a few things they can do to save yourself, okay? It's to the worst extreme is you buy a house and there's not enough, let me see, there's not enough land for you to expand, put in the proper parking. Oh, that's a nightmare. Go ahead and take the lead, Jim, on this thing.
Yeah, we've had so many of those, and I feel for, we really do. And a lot of things, on you and I sometimes can work miracles, but it's not the norm. Yeah, it's not the norm. And you don't want us to have to do that because it tends to be expensive. But, here's the thing. If you bought an existing building, the first thing you got to do, again, get a professional design individual like ourselves who understands dentistry and understands building construction to what you can do and what you should do next. Obviously, you have to have a program of what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're saying, I bought an existing building and it's a commercial building, whether it's a retail center or whether it's an existing commercial building, to whatever degree, it doesn't matter. It's a commercial building. And you say, I want to do a 6 operatory space. Okay. We know in round numbers what a 6 operatory square footage is going to be. We're going to then evaluate that piece of property along with that building. So now we're doing the property and the building to evaluate what has to happen to it. Again, this is a commercial property. So go back to one of our podcasts that we talked about commercial versus residential and the big difference between them. So a commercial property will evaluate, determine the possibilities that could happen. We do an initial design concept that says, okay, you can do this, you can do this, this is how it'll work, it'll fit in these particular areas, and basically renovate to a level to be able to make it happen and put in your 6 operatory. Now, we may come back and say, because of this reason, and this reason, you can't really do 6 operatory in this particular property that you've built or bought this building. And the recommendation may be that you have to tear some of it or all of it down to move forward with a new building. Now, everything will have to be reviewed. We're going to have to review the existing building and its relationship to the code and the setbacks and the easements and all those other criteria that we talked about back in the property side we're going to have to review that as well with the building. We've talked about project we had down local to us here. An existing building was built back in the 60s. The codes changed. The ordinances changed. And the right-of-ways were basically made that building impossible to rebuild if we would have torn it down. So we had to, in that particular case, literally tear every wall down with the exception of one and rebuild a new building around that one existing wall, only because everything was grandfathered if we didn't tear the building down. It still required a whole bunch of variances, but we got through it. It was a nasty mess, but it was a success when it was all done. And the doctor is very happy and been in for a bunch of years and doing very successful. But it was a difficult, very difficult property. And would have been a much better solution if the doctor would have known a lot of this stuff beforehand. So the big thing
can I
is...
Can I share, Jim, nasty detail on that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
On that particular project, the architect, in this case it was us, was brought onto the project after the doctor had designed recommendation and based on what was present to her, she purchased the property.
And that design recommendation was by the equipment supplier.
That's right. Okay. They failed to do the due diligence involving zoning issues and building code issues and stuff like that. So they basically went on the blind and let the doctor and put the doctor into a very bad situation. She purchased the land and then discovered that she couldn't really do what they recommended or what they present. So again, that you just don't just talk to, some people would label themselves as design professional, but design professional know what the heck they're doing. Okay, it's important that you get as many pieces of information and knowledge about that property as you can before you purchase it. But we are talking about you already, in this scenario, you already bought the property. How do you do the damage control? Okay.
How do you move forward?
Yep.
So move forward is just that. You have to get a very competent design professional, again, like ourselves, who understands what this stuff is all about and can give you all the possibilities and all the options. And say, okay, this works, so let's move forward and go that direction, or that doesn't work, whatever it may be. So existing building. Now, that's an existing commercial building. If it's an existing residential building, that's a different ball game altogether. Residential buildings, go back to our podcast, and again, we talked about commercial versus residential. Residential buildings are built under a different code criteria. So there's a lot more criteria that have to be looked at, and that tends to equate to more dollars necessary to bring it up to a commercial standard, bring it up to that particular code, and then do something with it to meet your program. Let's say again we're doing the 6 operatory. More than likely, a lot of the time we will come back on a higher percentage to say one of your options is going to be to tear this building down as opposed to try to renovate it. But we're going to talk about that in the next thing having to do with renovation. But be very careful, very, very careful on buying residential properties and thinking you can flip them into commercial properties easily. We're going to put that down as the number one design nugget tonight. Be very careful that you do not think that you can take a residential property and flip it into a commercial property to satisfy your project as a new dental office. Go ahead.
On that note, let's just roll it forward and say, I bought a house. What do I do?
Yeah. Yep, that's the next one. I bought the house. What should I do next? Okay. I know, Han, you're going to say these words. Run. <'Cause>
run for
put
it.
Run. Put it up for sale. Nine times out of ten, most of them don't work. Most of the time, you cannot easily flip a house into a dental office without some major, major expense and some major, major issues that you have to work through. Don't get me wrong. We have done it. It can be done.
Yep.
But what's it cost? And that, you know, that's all on an individual individual basis based upon a particular house. So, again, be very careful about buying a house and think you can turn it into a dental office.
Yeah, most of the time that the individual they come and say, I'm looking at a house and want to convert it into a dentist's office. It's usually it's an older home in an older, more like a historic district. There is so many things that you need to do to bring a house up to a standard that will meet the commercial use. Your mechanical system, electrical system, plumbing system, structural system. One of the common denominator in a house conversion is accessibility code. The construction of a commercial building usually take into consideration for the ADA and or accessibility guideline, but a house rarely if a house is built on slab. It depends on what part of the country you are, but it's usually elevated or higher, and so you're looking at ramps or lifts, but it just, you know, you got a blank sheet that has, then you can list all the headaches. So the do's is to get all your, you know, to do your due diligence first before you buy it. Because once you buy it, then it's trying to achieve your goal from a reactive mindset versus a proactive mindset, and you come up short in expectations and short in change. Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Bill was with us tonight, he would share his story. Been there, done that. Bought an old farmhouse. Thought they were going to easily renovate it into a dental practice. All said and done, could have easily have built a brand new practice of much larger size for the money that they put into renovating that existing farmhouse. And
yeah,
it just didn't make financial sense at the end of the day. But obviously, you got to learn the hard way sometimes. And like you said, we've got to let everybody know. There's no need for them to learn the hard way because we've already done that. Don't need to do it again.
That's right. Other people's experience is the best teacher, not necessarily your own. Okay, learn from others. One thing that Jim mentioned, regardless of whether you bought a commercial building or a residential structure, again, parking is a huge item that you need to make sure that you're satisfied. Jim mentioned about the project that we did where we tore down, you know, basically everything except a wall. Every location, every project with or without structure have to be analyzed on an individual, case for case. We have a project in a few years back where the recommendation before we came on board, the local contractor, their recommendation is to tear down the building and just build new. You certainly can do that, okay? That is if you have a piece of property that can meet the requirement that you need. In this particular case that I was just mentioned, the building is on zero lot lines. That means that the side of the building on each side is sitting on the property line. The front is on the property line. The back, just a small little drive in the back. So to tear it down, meaning that you clean the building off and you have a site, a fresh site. What happened is that you can't put the same building back up. You erase the footprint of the building. Now the current zoning ordinance come into effect. The setback on the front, the setback on the side, the setback on the back. That means that that same building that you're hoping to rebuild doesn't exist anymore. It will be basically a really small building. So talk to the right folks, okay, who has the knowledge that can lead you through, not just saying a Joe with a pickup truck and a hammer. Okay?
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt, because it is an interesting situation when, you know, we hate to be the bearer of bad news, but at the same time, you know, that's why we call our program Straight Talk, and also why we say in our literature, and obviously is part of what we do, we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you what you need to hear. Now, that sometimes might mean that you don't get to be our clients, and that's great. We're okay with that, but at least we feel comfortable that you've been given the right information. Now, what you do with it is up to you. We're not going to force you to do anything. But we have a very strong passion to be able to give you the right information and give you all of the facts, because, you know, this really is a very complicated practice of you know, creating dental offices. This is a complicated business. This is not just something that just anyone should be doing, because it's too important to do. You got to do it right, and to do it right, you need to have that expertise and that knowledge base. And that's why Han and I are spending the time every Tuesday night trying to at least get this information out to those that want to hear. Let's jump into the next one, which kind of is a segue into a little what we're talking here. And I want to expand or renovate. What should I do? I'll let you start.
Well, renovations are usually limited to just the interior. It depends on the extent of the renovation. Okay, it could be as simple as moving a couple wall, adding new doors, open up doorways, minor stuff, you know, changing counters, cabinets, carpet,
give it a fresh look.
Cosmetic.
Yeah, give it a fresh
basically
look.
Basically cosmetic. Okay. And that in itself has its complexity. And not just anybody should come into your office and say, "Well, just tear down that wall and open, you know, that window and stuff like that." The individual that you entrust your new building for the renovation should have a pretty thorough knowledge of building, the design, and building systems. Okay, if they don't, it would create a pretty big mess for you. Let's, for instance, you have a building and they say, gut it. Gut everything. Okay? I want to open a window here and I open a window there. And let's just make this entire wall glass because it's going to look so cool. In my career, have worked with design professionals that are known as interior designers. Who have came onto the project and they wave their magic wand of all of these fantastic ideas, but they don't have the understanding of the cost and effect and the consequences for everything that you want to do. Because everything you want to do that are cool and cutting edge and that stuff have to be able to be supported, have to be able to work. So you just, you know, to come in and look at the existing space and renovate You have to analyze. So analyze why you want to take out that wall. What is the benefit? What does it serve? So the flow, the function, and all that stuff have to work. It have to give you the value and create a finished product that makes sense, that are efficient and all that. If you happen to be in a building that's where the footprint is small and you need to have more room and expansion is required. It's just not simply knock on a wall and expand the back out of the back. It has to be looked at and be designed to work with the site, you know, and all that good stuff, because they have to make sense. Okay. We get design presented to us all the time, and and the recommendation from equipment supply mainly, because they're not trained in building technology, so they just simply, on paper you got a box, knock out a wall, expand this or expand that, and if you design in a tunnel without looking at how it affects the site, how it affects the overall circulations, the utilities, and all that stuff, it will create a mess if you don't have the right people at the at the front of the process to lead and to look at all the things, all the landmines that you have to work around. You can end up with a pretty, not just short or compromised project, but an expensive compromise. Jim?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line on either an expansion and or renovation is it has to be buildable. And Han, gave some great examples of some of that stuff. Sure, you could go in and gut a space and use it as a blank canvas and start over. Move operatories over here, put this over there, put your sterilization over there. Even if you bought an existing dental office, and you want to renovate it, it may not have enough operatories, so you may want to renovate and add on. But it has to be buildable, meaning it has to, has to flow. It, like Han said, it has to be supported, meaning the structure has to be intact so that you're not tearing down bearing walls. Bearing walls are something that hold the structure above up and keeps the roof above your head. You can't just knock those things down willy-nilly. There's things you have to do. If you need to move or rework a bearing wall, you're looking at things like columns and beams. Well, columns and beams have to set on foundations and footings. And
yep.
That means you have to get down into the ground and put in foundations and footings, depending on where you're at. And what's underneath you could be very expensive or could be somewhat expensive. And then it has to be practical, meaning can you even physically do it? Can you get in there in the middle of your building and do something to it? Now, if you bought this building and you're not occupying it, that's one set of criteria. So a lot more can be done, because there's nobody in the building. So, you can tear up a whole lot of that thing and still be able to accomplish your task and the goals that you're shooting for. But if you're working out of that building and want to renovate it and add on to it, that's a whole different story.
Yes, it is.
That's a story that usually doesn't have a happy ending, because it takes thousands of extra dollars, added time, frustration beyond belief. And so that really has to be planned out perfectly with a design group that understands how to do this, in conjunction with the builder who understands how to do this, and in conjunction with you and your staff who understand what they're going to have to do. And we're talking about things like adjusting your schedule so that you maybe only work 3 days a week and the other days of the week the project is being worked on, or you're looking at maybe there's a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 week or sometimes a couple month shutdown. There's a lot of things that come up when it comes to, depending on your scope of what you're trying to accomplish, when it comes to renovating or expanding an existing practice where you're actually living in it. Now, expansions sometimes are easier, but a lot of times they're not easier, because unless your original building was designed to be expanded in the right location, it may be an extremely problematic to try to expand out the back of the building. And we see that example all the time. You've got the operatories over here on the east side of the building, but the only place that you can expand is on the west side of the building, the opposite side of the building. And so now you're going to have a new practice with operatories on one side of the building separated by a whole bunch of stuff that didn't make sense, and then you're going to have operatories on the other side of the building. So you just designed yourself into a scenario where you have basically two practices. You got your east and your west. We see that all the time. Now, can it be solved? Sure can. Han's a wizard at that. I mean, that can be solved. But a lot of times that means internally things get moved around so that the practice flows. Everything functions properly. But it's not as easy as, well, let's put this addition on the side and slap out 4 more operatories and open the doors.
Yeah, it's when you do a renovation or an addition, you should have an honest to goodness discussion with your team. Be realistic, okay? The reason why we had this segment focused on the do's, because we're trying to stay more positive. We've been accused of being fear-mongering, and I don't like that. That offends me. So we try to keep things kind of more upbeat, but this is the do's. Do put people, do bring people with the capacity to think outside the box. Preferably, they bring their own box to the table, so that they can help solve the problem. And you have to be realistic. Is that if you want to stay open and you want to expand or renovate, and your end product is something that's a compromise, yeah, I guess you can adapt. Okay, but why not look at the best scenario that can be done, and find a way to make it work. So that way, once it's done, it's done. They give you the best value, not just some value. Okay, so we have we have clients that say, I must just stay open through the entire process. Okay, it makes the design totally different. Well, on the same token, if you say, I can shut down for a couple weeks, then perhaps there's other ways to get the work done and accommodate that schedule. But be flexible, do be open-minded, and look at the optimum rather than a compromise or settle for. Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, let's jump into it, see if we can get a couple more in here before the end of the show. Here's a really interesting one. And it happens. I want to do something. I know I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. I mean, you may think to yourself, really? Somebody is in that position that they want to do something and they need to know they need to do something, but they don't know what to do. Well, that's actually more common than you think. And we've been asked that question, and we've got the perfect person to help that. And that's Dr. Bill Hunsinger, because he's an expert at dealing with that particular question. He'll be able to, and he's, what you should do, you should talk to Bill, because he'll be able to evaluate. Because what you've got to do is you've got to evaluate where you're at, evaluate what you're doing, and then get the expertise of a professional who understands dentistry, like Bill, that then can give you what you should be doing and how you should get it done to get to where you're at. Because if you've got that feeling inside of you that says, I know I need to do something, but I just don't know what, that's probably a very frustrating feeling.
I think every day
to go through that and feel like that every day is like, what do I got? What should I do? Should I add operatories? Should I add staff? Should I change my schedule? Should I go to things called like split shifts? Should I bring on associates? Should I get rid of associates? Should I bring on partners? I mean, you name it in the way of possibilities. Bill has done it and is doing it. And you need to have someone like that to be able to help you determine how to move forward. Han, I know you're chomping at the bit. I'll let you get into it.
Yeah. I think it's more like, you know, having, if you don't have a business mentor to guide you through some of this process, you can find yourself just kind of like, you know, wading out in the deep water and hoping somebody discover you. The question, I think, is pretty common, particularly if you are young, been out of school for a few years, you know, you've got some, you have a certain level of clinical tech, clinical skill and so on, and you just don't like where you are as an associate. You want to go out on your own and stuff like that, and it's very scary. Could be very, it's to be frightening. And so, go and, you know, and sit down with a mentor, who had been through the trenches and probably built his or her own trenches for a number of years and let them get under their wing. Bill had been, around for a long time. He has a small empire in the northwest Ohio. He's one that would tell you straight out, you're not ready. You need a couple more years. This is the skill level that you need, yada, yada, yada. And this is the strategy that you need to stick to. And then when we get to that point, maybe a year down the road, 2 years down the road, or 5 years down the road, hopefully not five, but you know, you get to that point where you say, you're ready. Okay, and then you assess your what you achieve, and you say, okay, we're ready. Let's go and do this. Okay, you need people on your team that are not afraid to tell you the things that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. It would be a shame for intelligent people like yourself to hire intelligent professional and then tell them. And you tell them what, you know, what to say, because it's good for your ego. No, you want people to tell you because you need to hear the things that you need, not what you want to hear. Okay, and we are basically, all three of us function very, very much the same way. Like Jim said earlier, I'd rather have you walk away after you get the knowledge than to serve you and work on a project for you that at the end you're not going to be happy. Okay, we enjoy working with clients that are well informed, and when they're informed, they make better decisions. They make more solid decisions. And who doesn't want to work with people who make intelligent decisions? Jim.
Well, and the good thing about working with an individual like Bill is he'll provide that practical what needs to be done advice, and these are the procedures that he would recommend. It's that information that helps you get from point A to point B. And you may say, well, okay, I'm at point A, I'm at this particular part of my career, and after evaluating it with Bill, the determination is you want to be, you know, down the road at this point. Well, how do you get there? Well, you need a professional who will help you get from point A to point B with practical steps, with these are the things you have to accomplish. These are the things that you need to do. Now, the least important of all of that is how long. The most important of all of that is these are the steps that have to be accomplished. If you can accomplish them faster, then you get to point B faster. But if it takes you longer, then it takes you longer. It's about accomplishing the steps. And a high-quality professional mentor like Bill will be able to help you through to those points so that you can get that done. And if you, it really then becomes up to you of how fast you get those accomplished, how fast you can move forward, and how fast you can take the next step or get to that next next point in your career. It's an exciting thing, but the worst thing you would want to do, and do without a doubt, get a professional who understands dentistry, and definitely do not get a individual who's a salesperson who basically just wants to sell you on this new type of system or this new type of procedure or this new type of widget, whatever it might be. That won't get you there. Will it, Hon?
Jim, are you saying it's better to, move forward and achieve quality versus move forward because of time constraint?
Yeah.
In other words, don't rush into it, right?
No, you don't. You want to move as fast as you can physically accomplish things, but the time that it takes you to get accomplished is not the goal. The ultimate goal is to getting there with all of the steps covered so that you're ready at the next point in your career to be able to make that next step. And what we're talking about is the potential of, let's say, maybe you're an associate and you're ready to go out on your own. Well, you've got to have a plan, a program to be able to get to that point where I can boom, go out on my own and take on my own practice. Either I'm going to open my own door, I'm going to, you know, buy into the one that I'm at here and take it over, or I'm going to buy somebody else out and take that over. There's a lot of scenarios. Or you know, if you're in a situation where you've already been in the practice for a bunch of years and you're ready to take on that next step where I want a second practice or I want a third practice or my ultimate goal is to have 5 practices. How can you accomplish that? It can be done. And Bill will lay it out. Here's how you accomplish it. Anything can be done. Answer your question, Hon?
Yep. I knew the answer. I mean, just basically.
Yeah.
Again, it's, you know, don't.
Well, if I answered the question for you, then I hopefully answered the question for the, you know, the folks who are listening.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I want to talk about it a little bit more. All right. I've been out of school for 5 years now. What should I do? And the big thing there is, obviously, we've already talked about getting a professional mentor or an individual like Bill who understands all this stuff. But you've got to get the right team. Bill's number one, or somebody like a Bill. That's job one. You got to have that person. But there's other team members. You've got to have very competent team to help you to move forward to what you want to accomplish. And that team will help you identify what your ultimate goal is and what your ultimate program is and solidify it. Now, go back to our previous podcasts, episodes we talked about the team builder. I think it was one of the earlier episodes, somewhere around 1 or 2 or maybe 3, I can't remember. You know, you're going to need to have a design professional like ourselves, an architect who understands dentistry eats, sleeps, and drinks dentistry. You got to have somebody like that. You got to have a competent construction entity, whether it's a construction manager or a general contractor who understands dentistry. Okay, you've got to have someone in your county. Obviously, you've got to have someone, a legal team member, and I think the other one you have to have is you have to have somebody in your lending institution. All of these folks need to understand the business of dentistry and how that business model works. You pull that kind of team together, and you're out of school for 5 years, 6 years, and you're ready to do the next, whatever that next is going to be. That's the easiest way to set yourself up to succeed. That's what you need to do. Hon?
Well, I think you say it all, Jim. It's that getting the right people in your corner to help guide you and to have your back. So that way it takes a lot of burden off of you, and you are moving forward in the right direction. Okay? So having the right team. I guess basically that's what the whole topic's about, is getting the right people to work with you, for you, and on your behalf, giving you the right guidance, not just what you want to hear. Jim?
Yeah, and it's crucial. There's so many more things we could jump into. We've only got a few more minutes here for tonight's show, and we'll save a lot of these next ones for our next Design Nuggets segment. But it's crucial that if you're at a point where you're saying, I've got all of this stuff happening, what should I do? I think the common thread in a lot of these is you need a design professional who understands dentistry. Someone who specializes in that, someone who is trained in architecture, who's trained in the building trades, who understands all that nasty stuff, right, Hon? Code, the handicap code, constructability, someone who understands how things are built and how they're put together, someone who understands the issues that a site brings, meaning easements, utilities, setbacks, zoning ordinances, building criterias, architectural review boards, all that kind of stuff that has impact, because all of this stuff has impact on your building. It has impact on the way it looks. It has impact about how big it's going to be. It has impact about where it's going to physically set within a piece of property. It has impact about whether you can renovate that building and turn it into what you want it to do, or have to tear it down. All of this stuff has impact on what you're trying to accomplish. So you need a design professional who is well-versed, who's experienced, who's been trained, and can understand and articulate the questions that you need to answer. Because our big thing has always been, Han and I don't do this for ourselves. The buildings that we design and the projects that are created and built, they're not ours. They're yours. You have to live with them. You have to be in them every day for lots of hours. Your staff have to experience them, and your patients have to enjoy them. And our goal is to create something that's unique to you, helps you succeed, and is a profitable business. And all of that can be done by having the right competent individual or group that understands what your goal is. I mean,
couple nuggets, Jim.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a little preachy about that, but I think it is important to understand that the common goal in a lot of this is just that. You need the right person or group to lead this thing. Hon?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think it's always come down to what do you want and what you can afford. And Jim said earlier that we don't design offices and buildings to put our name on there and say, look how great we did of a job. We do. My opinion is a little biased. We do great work. The important thing for us is that it is designed specifically to your specific need and objective, and designed based on what you can afford rather than what we think you should spend on your building. Okay? It's not a trophy or a feather in our hat. It is something that is going to be a structure, a place that you can be proud of, that is designed just around your personal preference. It's like getting it depends on your gender, getting a dress measure and made for you, or a suit measure and made for you, it's in that way of thinking. It's our whole objective is what it is you need and how can we help you to meet it. One of the things that we had jot down is that you as the team, as the project owner, you need to help and define the overall scope of the work and who ultimately will be responsible for everything that happened on the project. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we've really hit this subject pretty hard. I know we've given you a lot to think about tonight. Feel free, please, send us in your questions and your comments. You can send them in an email. Catch us on our website. We're glad to answer them. If we don't do it personally directly, we'll do it through the radio show. If you have direct questions, catch us. Set up a consultation. We're ready here and willing to no lack of answers to questions, are there, Hon? We do everything we can to answer a question, and look forward to next week, where we're going to have another show of another interesting topic. But thankful for you guys spending the time with us this evening, and we look forward to next time, Hon.
Yeah, like Jim was saying, that in our opening of our radio program, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So we encourage you to reach out if you have questions. We'll get you the answer you need. Again, we certainly enjoy spending the time, the last hour sharing our knowledge and things that you. That may help to move you forward wherever you are in the process. Appreciate your time, and until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Hans. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.